Owen Wingrave by Henry James. Part I. "Upon my honor, you must be off your head," cried Spencer Coyle, as the young man with a white face stood there panting a little and repeating, "Really, I've quite decided, and I assure you I've thought it all out." They were both pale, but Owen Wingrave smiled in a manner exasperating to his interlocutor, who, however, still discriminated sufficiently to see that his grimace, it was like an irrelevant leer, was the result of extreme and conceivable nervousness. "It was certainly a mistake to have gone so far, but that is exactly why I feel I mustn't go farther," poor Owen said, waiting mechanically, almost humbly. He wished not to swagger, and indeed he had nothing to swagger about, and carrying through the window to the stupid opposite houses the dry glitter of his eyes. "I'm unspeakably disgusted. You've made me dreadfully ill," Mr. Coyle went on, looking thoroughly upset. "I'm very sorry. It was the fear of the effect on you that kept me from speaking sooner. You should have spoken 3 months ago. Don't you know your mind from one day to the other?" The young man for a moment said nothing. Then he replied with a little tremor, "You're very angry with me, and I expected it. I'm awfully obliged to you for all you've done for me. I'll do anything else for you in return, but I can't do that. Everyone else will let me have it, of course. I'm prepared for it. I'm prepared for everything. That's what has taken the time, to be sure I was prepared. I think it's your displeasure I feel most and regret most. But little by little you'll get over it." "You'll get over it rather faster, I suppose," Spencer Coyle satirically exclaimed. He was quite as agitated as his young friend, and they were evidently in no condition to prolong an encounter in which they each drew blood. Mr. Coyle was a professional coach. He prepared young men for the army, taking only three or four at a time, to whom he applied the irresistible stimulus of which the possession was both his secret and his fortune. He had not a great establishment. He would have said himself that it was not a wholesale business. Neither his system, his health, nor his temper could have accommodated itself to numbers. So he weighed and measured his pupils and turned away more applicants than he passed. He was an artist in his line, caring only for picked subjects and capable of sacrifices almost passionate for the individual. He liked ardent young men, there were kinds of capacity to which he was indifferent, and he had taken a particular fancy to Owen Wingrave. This young man's facility really fascinated him. His candidate usually did wonders, and he might have sent up a multitude. He was a person of exactly the stature of the great Napoleon, with a certain flicker of genius in his light blue eyes. It had been said of him that he looked like a pianist. The tone of his favorite pupil now expressed, without intention indeed, a superior wisdom which irritated him. He had not especially suffered before from Wingrave's high opinion of himself, which had seemed justified by remarkable parts, but today it struck him as intolerable. He cut short the discussion, declining absolutely to regard their relations as terminated, and remarked to his pupil that he had better go off somewhere, down to Eastbourne, say, the sea would bring him round, and take a few days to find his feet and come to his senses. He could afford the time, he was so well up. When Spencer Coyle remembered how well up he was, he could have boxed his ears. The tall, athletic young man was not physically a subject for simplified reasoning. But there was a troubled gentleness in his handsome face, the index of compunction mixed with pertinacity, which signified that if it could have done any good, he would have turned both cheeks. He evidently didn't pretend that his wisdom was superior. He only presented it as his own. It was his own career, after all, that was in question. He couldn't refuse to go through the form of trying Eastbourne, or at least of holding his tongue, though there was that in his manner which implied that if he should do so, it would be really to give Mr.